What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 23.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to know more about me, feel free to visit my personal website at www.voicebard.com. In this episode, we have coffee with my dear friend, Cliff Zellman. Cliff is the Director of Talent Management at ACM Talent for their automotive division, as well as the owner of Amazing Demos, where he utilizes his perspective from years in the industry to turn himself into a champion of the auto commercial space. In this episode, we talk about the wonderful world of automotive voiceover, Cliff's transition from music to voiceover production, and just how you get into the local automotive voiceover space.
How are you, Cliff?
I am well, thank you, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing well.
And since this is the coffee clutch, let's take a sip here.
Absolutely. How do you take your coffee?
I drink my coffee, if it's just a regular cup of coffee, cream only. And if it's an espresso, black with a lemon.
With a lemon?
With just a little lemon peel. We'll just drop in a little lemon peel with your espresso if you've never done it. I think it's very customary. I think when you get an espresso, you get a little piece of lemon on the side. Huh. You throw it in. Yeah. That's wonderful.
I never thought of that.
Next time you do it, you'll say, thank you, Cliff.
I will do that tomorrow morning. So you started early in your career working in audio engineering and production. Did you always want to work in the voiceover side of it?
Well, no. <Not really. laughs> I've always wanted to work in the rock and roll side of it. I started at about 16, 17 years old in a recording studio and in a band and loving it and, you know, having tons of pedals in front of me and connecting things. And so I thought, you know, hey, I'm an engineer. I figured this stuff out, you know, source, mode, assign, where's it coming from? Where's it going? Where, you know, what's it doing and where it's going. And I saw an ad in a billboard at my college's employment office that wanted a receptionist for a recording studio. I said, well, I'm certainly qualified to answer the phones. And that was my first actual paying job. Everything that I did beforehand, I kind of paid, or a label that I was involved with paid for the studio time that we were in. So my first introduction was as a guitar player in a band going into a studio booking time. A couple of years into that passed, and then I got the reception job. And then I was promoted to cleaning the bathrooms. That was a huge promotion. And then I was promoted to vacuuming. And then after a while, I was promoted to vacuuming inside the control room, which was wonderful. Now, I got to tell you, the studio that I had no idea was Hall & Oates in the day, Alice Cooper at night for 3 years or for 3 months. England Dan and John Ford Coley for a month and a half. Just Gino Vannelli, one right after the other. Back, this was, you know, back in the 80s, so these were big names.
Right.
Early 80s.
I mean, arguably they still are.
Yeah, I guess, you know, maybe they could fill in maybe a 500 seat arena.
I'd still get starstruck if I ever met like Alice Cooper just walked into my door. You know what I mean? Like, I'd still.
It was Alice Cooper and Bernie Taupin were sitting in the lounge when I walked in, and they were there for maybe 20 minutes before I came in for my shift, and I tried to be really cool.
How'd that work out for you?
It worked out good. You know, I ended up hitting one with Allison and Bernie, you know, 2 hours later back in the shop. And it was the album was From the Inside, which was a little strange. I think it was like after Muscle of Love or something. And it's kind of, you know, not quite at the School's Out $1 billion babies fame that he was, but, you know, still pretty good, but wonderfully nice guy. And they appreciate it if you just walk in. You know, I walked in, gentlemen, you know, and I put the Pepsis in the refrigerator and I made a new cup of coffee and I walked out, you know, I'm like, oh. But, you know, I've done a couple of these. And one of my favorite stories to tell is I was in the library of Dablin Studios doing tape inventory and 2-inch tape, 1/4-inch tape, cassettes, how many we have, how many we need to order. And Toto was in the studio recording their first album. And Steve Lukather's guitar amp was right on the other side of the wall of the library that I was in. And I hear him recording the guitar solo to Hold the Line. And I put my ear to the wall and I'm like, I'm trembling. I'm saying, you know, I'm witnessing history. And, you know, I was like the lowest of the lowest of the lowest, yet I was a part of it, you know? So it was neat. And that was an addiction. And I went from one studio to another studio, stayed at, I was at the first one for maybe 3 years, then joined another, a smaller production studio in Studio City for 13, 14 and a half years. Got wind of the job here in Dallas and been with that production company for 25 years. So it's been in studio, in front of a console, in front of monitors since 1979. That's a long time ago.
Right. So how'd you get wrapped up in the whole voiceover side of it?
Well, my first real introduction into voiceover was I was hired by CBS to do soundtrack albums for Murphy Brown. Ever heard of that show?
Yeah.
China Beach, Beauty and the Beast, okay, with Ron Perlman and Hamilton, Linda Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And what was the other one? Dallas.
Okay. So
what, these were all CBS TV shows. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to make an album featuring music of that style. Mm-hmm. Murphy Brown was Motown. China Beach was 60s. Beauty and the Beast was classical. Dallas was country. And the great idea was to get the stars in the show to sing on the albums. Well, very valuable lesson I learned was that a singer can become an actor a lot easier than an actor can become a singer. Yeah. But don't get mad at me, actors. It's completely different, you know.
Right, skills. Right, right.
Okay. I'm not saying that all singers can be good actors, but I think it's probably more difficult, you know, to go into a studio and sing a song and sound like a professional singer. So, you know, we moved things around, but what really stuck out was the Beauty and the Beast album, which was Ron Perlman reading the greatest of the greatest poetry, cut in with pieces from the TV show, with the classical music that was written by Don Davis and I can't remember the other guy's name, composing team, and they did beautiful classical music behind it. The show itself was awful. I mean, it was an hour of whining and We never get to spend any time together. We must learn to find time other ways. And, you know, please. But there was, it had a huge fan base, you know, and all the, you know, women were in love with the lion. And I went through probably a dozen microphones to get the perfect VO mic for Ron Perlman. And it turned out being a Sanken CU-41, which is probably a microphone no one's ever heard of. It's a Japanese microphone. Thing weighs a ton. It was all done on reel-to-reel. So any kind of de-essing was, you know, done electronically. And it wasn't really very, you know, predictable. I wish I would have had Pro Tools. You know, I'd love to go back and re-edit that. But I really enjoyed recording the dialogue and recording the poetry and hearing Ron Perlman, who, as you know, goofy movies as he does make from Hellboy from time to time, the guy's a great actor, and he has Shakespearean roots, or at least a classical from what I remember. And then the studio started that I was working at. I was the chief engineer and had a bunch of engineers, assistant engineers below me. So anything that came into the studio that didn't have an engineer assigned, I would do it. A lot of times a band would have their own engineer, their own producer. They'd come in, they'd lock out the studio for a month. And we'd love that because, you know, we're making money and we didn't have to do anything. And my assistants would go in and clean up afterwards. I didn't have to worry about it. But we started getting a lot of animation. And they said, well, you know, we normally just use the house engineer. So for 4 or 5 years, I've got the semicircle around me of the best of the best of the best from 1990 to 1995. That's where I met Townsend Coleman, and I met Jimmy Cummings and Rob Paulson, Ann Martin and Howie Mandel, and working on every Saturday morning cartoon show from either Deke, Saban, or Disney. I would go 4 hours, one studio, 4 hours, another studio, 4 hours in another studio. And I was the fader thrower. So I was throwing the faders, you know, and the thing is when you're recording, a bunch of people, you can't have two microphones on and one voice.
Right.
You can have one microphone and multiple voices. You can't have this microphone on, and this guy talking into it and having them both. We recorded directly to a DAT, the DAT. Mm-hmm. So everything was summed to mono.
Okay.
They weren't on individual tracks. So if two mics are on and one person is talking, you get what's called comb filtering.
And it kind of sounds like this,
you know, because the sound hits one microphone at one speed, and then it takes time to hit the other microphone. And then when they're summed together, it kind of, you get
it just sounds off mic the whole time, right?
Well, yeah, it sounds phase canceled, like you're going through a bad phase shifter, you know, that needs a new battery. So my job was to have the script, you know, sometimes 100 pages, because, you know, there's only like 4 lines each, and each character, each line had a mic number 1 through 6. So I would be reading the 6, 2, 1, 4, and the trick was you couldn't pull the fader down until the next actor first started to talk, because the microphone that's up, that guy could do an ad lib. And if you pull a microphone down, even though it's not on the script, they know not to talk over each other, but they'll sometimes give each other time to throw something in, like, you know, I saw that guy yesterday. I never want to see him again. That, you know, might not be in the script, but if I pull that down, I'm out. I'm fired. So it was incredibly stressful. A lot of fun. The pay was amazing. Being a, you know, 28, 29 year old kid, you know, where I think it was like $9,505 an hour, I think is what it was. But throwing faith, and I fell in love with that. Then when I took the job here in Dallas, doing all pretty much commercials, local and regional spots, I was dealing with the voice talent, and I didn't really care about the agency side of it, you know, let them work out the contracts, whatever. I want to produce the spots. I want to write the spots. I want to direct the voice talent. I want to edit and mix it and do all that stuff. And they said, fine, you know, that's what they hired me to do. So I'm starting to build this relationship with these local voice talents all over the country. And then I hear about a thing called BAFCON. This was 11 years ago, I think. I was involved before that. But BAFCON, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, was a national peer convention that had no agenda. And basically there were two walls. What do you want to teach? What do you want to learn? And people would take little stickers and you'd put it on the card. Oh, I want to learn about ISDN, right? That was the big thing back then, you know?
Right.
What is Source Connect? You know, how do I do this? How do I do this? So the questions and the answers. And then you would just break out and do a little session, an hour breakout session. And there were about 100 people that were heavily vetted. You had to kind of, because the whole point was you had to give as much as you take. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just go there and just take notes and learn and learn and learn. It wasn't like, you know, something like VO Atlanta, which is awesome. But this was more like, let's get, you know, our group together and share everything that we know within our group. And that's where I met, you know, 100 of my best friends. And it just got more and more and more involved. And my diving deep into automotive, I was really the only one that was doing it. Mm-hmm. Not, of course not. But you know what I mean? At right. least known in our group, you know. Right. Obviously, car spots have been produced for years by hundreds of thousands of people. But you know, when it comes to, you know, the FAFCON group and the VO Atlanta group and our group and who we know, you know, probably 300-500 people, maybe more. I mean, I've got, 3,000 friends on Facebook. I don't know, 2,000 of them. But people started to come to me and say, hey, you know, I want to get into automotive as well. And that's obviously because of the job that I took 25 years ago with Radio Vision, where it's all we really did was automotive. And I started to realize, you know, automotive, local automotive, it's hard to get into, just like any genre of voiceover. You know, local automotive is really a gold mine because it never stops. It's like working at the post office. Every week you've got to do new spots for the same client, different prices, different incentives, different terms. You know, one week is an F-150 XL, the next week is an XLT, the next week is a crew cab, the next week is a super crew. So it never stops. And there are voice sounds that's all that they do. You know, and they don't do commercial, they don't do animation or audiobooks, narration, nothing. They only do automotive. And they realize they don't have to be in Los Angeles or Chicago or Dallas or New York to do the big stuff. You can have an extremely lucrative career doing voiceover as much as you want all day long, doing local automotive. And it's fun because it's everything, you know, it's screaming and yelling. It's luxury. It's country. It's, you know, farmer stuff. It's, hey, I'm a mom. I'm a dad. You know, it's whatever. The only thing that it has in common is, you know, just the four tires, steering wheel, and some adventure, some journey, you know. But it's for 25 years I did it and I loved it. And every day, you know, every spot that I started, my heart would beat, you know, I would get excited. I could get to do another one, get to do another one. And there's revisions because the account executives often make mistakes. The client can give the account executive the wrong information, or incentives change overnight. And all the production that I did Monday and Tuesday has to be completely scrapped because now it's this incentive. Well, it's not the voiceover talent's fault. So he gets to do double the work that week. And it's clean. It's easy. If you know how to do it, it's actually very difficult if you don't know how to do it. But once you get it down and it becomes a part of your DNA, you know, it's not going to say it's a rip and read kind of philosophy, but it kind of is. If you do a lot of automotive and you can't pull off just about any kind of automotive spot in 10 or 15 minutes, it's not that you're, you know, not a great voice talent, but it's just automotive's not for you, you know. So it's fun. You know, and a lot of people want to get into it. A lot of people I've brought in and they've been very successful. A lot haven't. It's really up to the individual, you know. I mean, it's all about how you market yourself. That if you build it, if you record it, they will come. Doesn't work. you know, you've got to create that automotive persona. You've got to make those lists of the production companies, reach out. When you do reach out, I'm always telling people, give them a reason to want to hire you.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Cliff talk about how he got his start working in studios and his transition from recording music vocals to building a business in automotive. In the next episode, we'll talk about your automotive persona, how to market to automotive agencies and dealers, creating something valuable your clients want to open, and the three types of automotive voiceover. If you'd like to know more about Cliff or how to book his phenomenal audio services, you can visit him at www.a-mazingdemos.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.